Lesson. Very appropriate. We're so blessed to have so many that can sing, come to the house of the Lord, want to worship the Lord. We're so blessed that we're saved and we know the Lord. We're so blessed that we have a place where we can come and worship. We're so blessed that we're not in a nation to where they tell us that if we proclaim the name of Christ, our lives are in jeopardy. And we're thankful that we have a situation going on in this country. Somebody showed me a videotape on the news that just this morning. I hadn't been able to watch the news much, but they had a guy on there giving his testimony on Fox News about how God had moved in his life. Now, folks, that's a far cry from a president that'll say this is no longer a Christian nation. Amen? I'm just excited about it. To me, it was like a revival moment. Now, folks, God is not dead, and God has not changed. And I got some scripture I want to read, and I don't, like I heard a preacher say one time, I don't pick them, I just preach them as God sends them. And this is one of those moments, because God put this message on my heart a week ago, and I knew I've tried my best to find something else, but this is what God wants this morning. If you got your Bible, let's go to Matthew chapter number 13. I'm going to read there. Then we're going to read in Luke chapter number 14. I may read in Matthew 22. It's just so much here. There's a lot of ground to cover, a lot to talk about this morning. And I want to preach on this subject. I want to preach on counting the cost. But I want to read this scripture first as a prerequisite to that. And then I want to share with you an event that occurred in my life this week that really just stirred this scripture and this message and this title in my heart and my mind. But the scripture in Matthew chapter number 13, and I want to read verse 44 and 46. And I want to read this as a prerequisite because I want you to see it. And I want you to think about how important Christ is in your life. Or maybe a question, is Christ important in your life? It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, but for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, what this is comparing it to is basically that being a Christian or knowing Christ is the most important thing in your life. It's very, very important. Now, we're living in times today that people are putting emphasis and importance on a lot of different things. But I personally believe it doesn't really matter what else you've got. If you don't have the Lord, what have you got? I don't think you have what you need. I don't think you have enough. Now, the text scripture we want to read is over in Luke chapter 14. We may go back to Matthew 22 in just a minute. We may not. But I want to read this scripture to you. And it's talking about counting the cost. It is in Luke chapter 14, verse number 25 through verse number 45. It says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that he behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, a delegation, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned. It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now I want to flip over one more place, and I want to go ahead and read that scripture, Matthew chapter 22, in just a couple of verses. And what is the great commandment? And that's basically what this is. All the other commandments, the Bible teaches us, they hang on these. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34, it says this. It says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" Now I want to go back to Luke chapter 14, because that's going to be our text scripture. But I want you to think about it. Would you forsake everything to follow him? What would you forsake for him? And have you considered what the cost is to follow Christ? Have you considered what the great commandment is, that it is to love the Lord, your God, with all your heart? Not just to love him, but to love him first. You know, sometimes when we read scripture like this, and it is difficult to understand, and we know sometimes some of the messages are hard to understand, and here's what we need to understand. We understand the Bible and scripture by comparing scripture with scripture. The Bible does not contradict itself. The Bible supports itself. But we need to understand what the Word of God means. Now, I want to go through this scripture, but I want to tell you first what's on my heart this morning. This past week, I attended a graduation. And at the graduation, there were different children that were there, and they were coming across the stage. And as they got over to this side, they got to a place where the assistant principal was there. And the lady would actually speak to each one of them, and she would talk to them, and she would lay her hand on their chest, and she would lay her hand sometimes over their heart, and she would make a comment like this: "Keep Jesus in your heart." And she would encourage them, and she would tell them how important it is as they go out in their life and they begin to start their journey that they follow the Lord, that they keep God first. You know, she got different responses, and I'm not going to give any names, but I can't help but tell you what's on my heart this morning. You know, there was one that stopped and said this to her, just looked back at her and said, "Don't preach to me." You know, but there was another, and this is really the one that stirred my heart so much. It was a young girl, and she goes through circumstances in her life that, you know, sometimes it's kind of like this. You see somebody and they're successful. You see somebody and they're blessed. And you see somebody and everything seems to be going for them. They got everything they want. They're good looking. They're smart. And you wonder, why in the world wouldn't they be successful? But what if you see somebody whose circumstances in life are this? They're going to have to work harder than somebody else. They're going to have to put forth an extra effort. They're going to have to overcome odds that the world brings against them that may be such that somebody else doesn't have to deal with. And there was such a little girl that when she got to the assistant principal and she talked to her and she basically has prayer with them and encourages them in the Lord, that the girl took a couple of steps and she looked back at her and she said this. She said, "I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it right." And when my wife told me that, it stirred in my heart and my mind. I want to tell you something, people. We need to figure out that we're going to do what's right in the honor and glory for the honor and glory of God, and we're going to do it right. And I began to think about that, and I thought about this scripture and about counting the cost. You know what it takes to do it right? It takes determination. It takes willfulness. It takes the deciding in your heart and your mind that you are going to do the right thing regardless, and it doesn't matter what other people do. Now, the scripture says in Luke chapter number 14, and this is where it gets tough. He said, "If you love me, you've got to hate your father, hate your mother. You've got to put me before your wife, before your children, before your brethren, before your sisters." And here's where people don't get it. They say, "Well, that word hate." Well, let me explain that for you just a little bit. And let's go through this scripture and understand it. The word there is meseo. It means to love less. Now, here's what I want us to understand. If God is not first in your life, he's not in the right place. Okay, he cannot be second to your spouse. He cannot be second to your girlfriend. He cannot be second to your job. He cannot be second to your career. He cannot be second to your dreams. He cannot be second to anything in your life. God must be first. And when God takes his rightful place and he is before everything else, and you say, well, you don't understand my circumstances. We often, all of us, face circumstances in our life that we simply do not want to face. But one thing we cannot do is throw in the towel and quit on God. You must keep God first. Sometimes I hear people say something like this. Well, I went through a difficult situation, and here's what it could be. I lost my job. They didn't give me the promotion. My spouse left me. I wrecked my new truck. My girlfriend left me. So what are you going to do? Quit on God and go get drunk? No. No. I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to fall down and say, Lord, help me when I cannot help myself. Get me up from here and show me the path that you have for my life. He says, I want to be first in your life. He says, I must be first in your life. He must be before anything else. Doesn't mean you can't have these things, but here's what I want us to understand, and I believe this with all of my heart. I will never, ever be able to do it right without the Lord. You see, I'll never be able to be the kind of husband that I need to be to my wife without the Lord. I will never be able to be the kind of daddy that I need to be with to my boys without the Lord. Even at work, I want to tell you something. Sometimes people pour their whole life into their careers, but the problem with that is when you do that and that's all you got, what have you got? You really don't have anything. I tell my boys, I said, y'all need to prepare for 55. When 55 comes, you want to be in a position that you can do kind of what you want to do. Because if you work for one of these big corporations, they may have your number because there may be 220s waiting to take your place. Amen. Be careful about putting anything in this world before the Lord. You say, well, I have to do what so-and-so says. I tell you what you need to do. You need to do what God says. What did the disciples say? We ought to obey God rather than men. God has to be first. Look at verse number 27. It says, and whomsoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He must be before every other person, every other thing, but he also has to be before my own desires. You see, if God is not before my own desires, I'll tell you what's going to happen, and it'll happen to every person in this building. There'll come a time in your life that your emotions will overwhelm you. It'll cause you to make decisions that will absolutely, if you're not careful, destroy your life. It'll cause you to move to a place that God never sent you to. It'll cause you to take a job that God ain't got nothing to do with. I want to tell you, Brother Billy, I can remember getting job offers rolled up in sets of plans that would double my salary if I would move to a different part of the country. And I began to look at those and think about them, and I thought, and here's the first thing in my mind, God, is this where you want me to raise my children? Is this the place that you want me to take them? Because I want to tell you something. When they get in high school, wherever they're at, they're going to put roots down. And when you decide you're going to leave, they're not going with you. That's why I don't understand people that quit on God. It's like I heard a 14-year-old boy say, I quit church. Why'd you quit church? Mom and daddy quit church. I had to quit church. Mom and daddy gets right with God when the kids are in their 20s and they invite them back to church and they don't understand why they don't just jump in the truck and go with them. God has to be before our own desires. You see, here's the question. What cross has God asked you to bear? You see, a lot of times when we come to the house of God, we come in and here's what we want. It's like, y'all seen the birds in the nest? Little bird's got his mouth open like this. Mama bird hops in there and she drops the worm or the bug in his mouth. But there comes a time when they get up on the edge. And they're holding on and they're starting to do them wings just a little bit. And if you know anything about them eagles, they'll just grab a hold to them and they'll sling them out. And they'll watch them fall and that bird will be tumbling. It'll be trying to flap its wings just before it hits the ground. That eagle will swoop down up underneath it and it'll catch on its mama's back. And I want to tell you, you know what it does? It holds on.
And that old eagle, it just turns its nose straight up to the sky, and it goes straight up, and all of a sudden, it flips right over on its back. You know what that little baby does? It does this right here. It's holding on as tight as it can, but all it takes is a little bit, and that eagle turns loose again. Well, here it goes squealing. But I want to tell you something. That eagle, that mama, you know what it does? It knows just how far to let it fall before it swoops right back down under it again. You know, what we need to understand that if we're saved by the grace of God, our life is not our own. And sometimes God shakes us. Sometimes God moves us. Sometimes gives us a cross to bear. I like serving the Lord and I like church. But I heard a pastor say this one time. He said, I like what's going on around here, but I don't like everything that's going on around here. Amen. Now, what about that? People come into the house of God, they want to argue about what kind of music's played. They want to argue about whether or not you get blue chairs or brown chairs. They want to argue about who's going to do what. But when you ask them to do something, it takes a search committee to find them. See, God must be before our own desires. He's got to be first. Sometimes it's like this. God will give us something. It'll be a cross. Because it's difficult and it's not easy. And when we come in, we come looking and expecting a certain thing. What about when God puts something on you and He's requiring something of you and you know that God spoke to you, but you just don't want to do it? Wow. I've been there. But I tell you what happens. I've been there long enough to learn this. Sometimes you got to get still and listen to God. Because if you get ahead of God or get out of God's will, He'll tell you what you do. You put yourself in a position. God is trying to teach you something, but you're saying, God, I don't want to learn. I don't want to be that way in my life. There's been times that God's taught me something, and I know. And we're going to play a song in just a few minutes about the unexpected storm. It's when God moves on you and all of a sudden the sky's blue and it turns dark and the wind's blowing and you even examine yourself and say, God, what happened? I tell you, maybe nothing happened. Maybe God's just wanting to teach you something. Maybe it's time to get out of that nest. Maybe there's something that God wants you to do. Or something that the only way God can show you is for you to walk through that. See, you must be before your own desires. I have a quote from C.S. Lewis here. And when I read it and I understood it, this is a lot like it is with that bird in that nest. It says, the problem with Christianity is not that it has been tried and found wanting, but that it has been found difficult and left untried. You see, God wants us to serve. God wants us to work. God wants us to be faithful. And let's just admit it. Sometimes we get our feelings hurt and we want to run or we want to speak out or we want to say something, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to us and we know it's God because we know His voice and He says, just be quiet. That's hard to do. But sometimes that's the way God speaks to us. You see, He must be before our family. He must be before our desires. And God must be before the world. You must care more about God than you do the things out there. He said, I must be first. You see, in Matthew 6:24, it says this, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, what is mammon? It's material wealth, possessions, basically it's having a debasing influence. Not saying there's anything wrong with being blessed. God wants you to be blessed. And I believe that because I believe God blesses you so you can bless others. And sometimes God blesses you just because He loves you. There's a lot of times I love my boys. I give them stuff they don't deserve because I love them. And I've said this once before, if they'd just be just a little bit better, I'd even bless them to death. You know that God loves you and He wants to bless you? Here's why people have trouble. They want the goodness of God, the blessings of God, but they're like they're straddling the fence. They got one side over on the world side and one side on God's side, and they wonder why in the world they're having so much trouble and they can't get peace. It's because they're holding on to things that they know are not right with God, and they just won't turn them loose. And can I tell you this, and I want you to hear this. I want everyone to understand this, because if you come to me, and sometimes people don't ask me questions because of this, but maybe that's good too. God will not tell you anything that is in contradiction to this book. I cannot understand how people come to me and they say, I believe God told me, and I look at them, I say, I've got to the point, I say, you don't serve the same God I serve, because the God I serve tells very plainly in this book right here. Let me say it again. God will not tell you anything that's in contradiction to this book. You see, God must be before the world. Why do people feel that way or think that way? Because they've gotten so wrapped up in the world and the things of the world. The truth is, they just can't hear God no more. They're hearing something, but it's not God. See, what you have to do to walk with God, to be at peace with God, is you got to give up the world. You can't be worldly. And here's a question. Can the world tell that you are a Christian, or do you just fit in too well? You see, because if we're Christians and we're walking with the Lord and we're talking with the Lord, there's going to come a time at some point in our life, it's going to come out. It's just going to spill over. And I've thought sometimes about circumstances and things of my life, and you know, sometimes it's convictions, and I know mine have been building for a long time. I've been walking with the Lord a long time, but if you've been saved, let me tell you, it's a new birth. And it's the start of a new journey where God begins to speak to you by His Holy Spirit. And I believe this because I can tell you, my whole life has been this way. It don't matter how old you get, that grows. It continues to progress as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, as God speaks to you, because our journey and the purpose of our life is to become more like Him every day. That's why the Scripture says, John chapter 2, verse 1 John chapter 2, 15, 16 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, you must be before the world. And then this one goes right along with it. He must be obeyed. You see, He is God, and I'm not. And I have to accept that. I have to understand that. Sometimes I just have to surrender to Him. You ever had one of those uh-oh moments where God just kind of shows you a little bit about yourself? And all of a sudden you realize, maybe I'm not as humble as I thought I was. Maybe I'm not as godly as I thought I was. Maybe I don't know as much as I thought I know. I want to tell you something. I don't care how old you get. You're going to have those moments if you're listening to God. He's going to come. He's going to speak to you. But I'm thankful. And here's where I'm at with that. I'd rather have God speak to me than let me alone. I don't want to walk around thinking I've got it figured out when I'm not right with God and I'm not doing what God wants me to do. I want Him to speak to me. See, He must be obeyed. And the question, does God mean business? In the 27th verse, He said, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now here's a question. Have we considered the cost? And I think about these students, and I think about the heavy contrast between one that's standing there and says, don't preach to me. And then one that looks with desire in her eyes, with passion in her heart, a desire to do the right thing. And she says this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it right. I want to tell you, when I heard that, my wife told me that, she kept on talking, and I didn't mean it this way, but sometimes it's the way it is. I didn't hear nothing else. Now, sometimes, there's different reasons. She told me that, and it stuck in my heart. And I thought about doing it right. And I thought, God, I want to do it right. I want to be the right kind of husband. I want to be the right kind of dad. I want to be the right kind of pastor. I want to be the right kind of preacher. I want to be the right kind of child of God. But let's just be honest. Sometimes that cross gets heavy. So when that cross gets heavy, here's what you have to do. You have to stop. Say, is it worth the cost? Is it worth the cost? Or maybe we should ask, does it really matter? Here's some questions. Does it really matter if I serve God? Does it really matter if I continue working in church, if I teach Sunday school, or I work in Awana, or I serve as a deacon, or if I work around the church, or if I do the things that God has put for me to do at this time? Does it really matter if I serve God? Does it really matter if I do what God wants me to do sometimes rather than what I want to do? You see, we can't listen to our emotions or our feelings. They'll lead you astray. They'll lead you astray. Does it really matter if I remain morally pure and wait on the one that God wants me to marry? Does it really matter? Does it really matter if I do not do drugs? Does it really matter if I stand up for Christ and my friends reject me and they don't want me necessarily to be a part of the things that they do? Does it really matter if I come to church? Does it really matter if I am faithful? See, the question then becomes, are you counting the cost or have you decided to quit without really considering the impact your life has on others? See, the truth is, my life and your life, every person in here, regardless of who you are, your life impacts many people. Sometimes we make decisions about what we want or what I want, and we've forgotten the fact that maybe God has a plan and God's will is perfect. You say, well, I don't like it right now. I don't like my circumstances. That's not the issue. It's really not. The question is, are we right with God? And when I begin to count the cost, here's what I want us to understand. There is a cost to do. You know there's a cost to do the will of God? There's a cost. It's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me my time. You see, I could be spending my time doing a lot of other things. But what happens when I do? Everything that I put before the Lord, here's what I'm doing. I'm teaching my kids it's okay to put it before the Lord. Everything that I put before God, I'm saying, God, I care about this more than I care about you. Could cost you your time. It could cost you your treasure. Maybe God has given you something, and you know when He gave it to you, it wasn't for you, it was for somebody else. When God moves on you, and I believe this with all my heart, and He shows you a need, and He moves on you. Now, I'm not talking about somebody coming to you, and I told some of the deacons this recently. If we put a sign up out here that we're paying everybody's bills, well, they'll come. They'll be here. But we can't do that. Folks, that's not why the church is here. But if God moves on you and He tells you to help somebody and you do it, He's going to bless you for it. And He's going to move in such a way that it'll bless their life and your life. But you got to be in a relationship with God for Him to talk to you. See, sometimes God tells us to do something, and I've been there. My wife's a giver. I'm just be honest, I'm not. God uses her to keep me right in that area. God will move on you and He'll tell you to do something. You'll find every way in the world not to do what God told you to do. I want to tell you something. God's way is the best way. It could cost you time. It could cost you treasure. God already owns your talent. You see, if you can sing or you're pretty or God's done something for you, you didn't have nothing in the world to do with it. Sometimes these people tickle me to death. They look over at somebody and they kind of make a snicker at them and they say, I can sing better than them, I'm prettier than them. Well, where'd you get it?
Amen.
Where'd you get it? I bought it at Walmart. No, you didn't. We'd all be lined up. You didn't have nothing to do with it. God gave it to you. Question is, are you going to give it back to Him? Here's something else, and this one's been tough for me. What does it cost to do? I tell you what it costs you. You may lose control. You may lose control. See, the Bible and God's Word teaches us that we should walk by faith. It's hard to just turn it over, isn't it? Hard to just say, God, I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to just give it to you. But I want to tell you something. If you say, I'm going to follow God and I'm going to follow Him no matter what the cost, don't be surprised if God just moves in and He takes over. And you lose control and He takes control of your life. But I do believe for every person that God's way is the best way. Sometimes we just got to be still and let Him show us the way. And here's a tough one. Young people, this is something to think about. Newborn Christians, this is something to think about. There is a cost to do. You may lose friends. You may have people that when you get serious about serving God, you look around and they're not there. You talk about the Lord and they don't want to hear it. They get to the point they don't invite you like they used to. They do things and you're not a part of it. You don't get invited to go off. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of things. I want to tell you young people this. There's a lot of things you don't want to get invited to. These parties that the kids at school have, that when you don't get invited, you ought to raise your hand and thank God that you're not close enough with them or part of that group enough that they want you there. They ought to know that if they invite you, you're going to talk about Jesus, and if they pick up a bottle, you're going to tell them it's wrong. They ought to know, and we ought to live enough a life for the Lord that when we realize that we're going to follow Him, we understand the cost is that the world is going to reject us because it's already rejected Him. You see, it may cost you the world, but I want to ask you something. If you lose the world, what are you losing? Matthew 16:26 says this, for it, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, there is a cost to do, but I think there is a greater cost not to do. And I want us to think about that for just a minute, and I'm going to try to get finished here. But what about the cost not to do the will of God? The consequences for the disobedient Christian. And disobedience does have consequences. You see, we're saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by our works. But I do believe that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what God teaches us. Bible also says that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So what about the disobedience of my life? Does it have a cost? Does it have a price? And the answer is yes, it does. Because it affects more than just me. You see, sometimes the way I look at my life, if it's just me, I'll suffer. If it's just me, I could live in a hut. Okay? If it's just me, I could eat Cheerios 3 times a day. I'd get tired of them after a while, but I like them. But if it's just me, if it's just me, I'll do whatever I want to do because I'm just going to live a certain amount of time, right? No. Because you're created special. You got a soul, you got a spirit, and you're going to live for eternity whether you want to or not. But here's something to think about. The way I act, it affects my wife. The way I act, it affects my boys. It affects my daughter, my son-in-law, my grandboys that are growing up so fast. The way I act affects all of you. Could you imagine somebody calling, saying, I saw your pastor down at the Walmart parking lot. Somebody pulled out in front of him. He got out with a ball bat. And he knocked the windshield out of their car. Now, I'll tell you something. I've never drank or drugged, but I did have a little bit of trouble fighting when I was younger. God's helped me with that. But let's stop and think about it just a minute. Does it matter if I live what I preach? It does. And it's okay for you to expect that from me. You know, I mentioned just a minute ago the cost of faithfulness. Does it matter if I'm faithful? Honey, would you let me borrow $100? I want to take my girlfriend out. I'll pay for that later. I said that for a point. How many times we come down here and we say, God, I need you in my life. God, I need you to help me. God, if you will just do this in my life. Then we get up and we'll go right out that door. And we do exactly that. And we betray our Lord. But we want Him to bless us. Can I tell you, there is a cost for disobedience. Amen. And it affects more than you. It'll hurt your children. It'll hurt your loved ones. It'll hurt your church. What about the cost for rejecting God? Remember the one that said, don't preach to me. There are consequences for those who reject Christ. Now, I believe there's consequences here. See, because sometimes, although there is a cross to bear, I'll tell you something, everybody's got crosses, right? Like the song, everybody's going through something. See, we go through things, whether we know the Lord or not, whether we're Christians or not, whether we walk with Him or not. Everybody's got trouble. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got somebody in their family that they don't know what to do with. Everybody. But what about walking through life without God? What about having a circumstance of your life and you don't know what to do and you're without Lord? I tell you what, you just don't have no hope. But see, at least as a Christian, I have hope. I can pray. I can ask you to pray for me. We can walk together. We can bear one another's burdens. And I can live life to the fullest the way that God wants me to live it. And can I say this? I'm going to try to get done. And I just want to interject this. I want to tell you something as a Christian. I want you to hear me now. I am not miserable being a Christian. Amen. Ain't no other life I want to live. But a person that doesn't know the Lord, they live a life in vain. You say, oh, I know so-and-so. They're not living in vain. They're famous. They did this. They did that. I know a guy, he got promoted, and he's making this much money, and he's doing this. What are you going to have in the end? I tell you what you're going to have. It's going to say, in vain. Because you lived a wasted life, not living for God's glory, not glorifying Him. And can I tell you, when we bear our cross and we face the circumstances and we walk through the valleys and we keep standing and we come out on the other side, I tell you what it does, it glorifies God. Just like those in the Word of God that walk through it, when they come out on the other side, God had a plan. God knows where the rainbow's at. God knows how to calm the waters. God knows how to provide our needs. But sometimes we got to walk through it to get there. See, there are consequences and there is a cost. And I tell you, I've examined it. I've had to. Had circumstances in my life, and here's what I've decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. Now, we're going to play a song in just a minute, and I want you to think about it. Sometimes the truth is, and it is, standing firm is hard to do. Seems like it's tough. But you got to count the cost. You got to decide where you're going to stand. Sometimes People say, well, I'm just not ready to make a commitment to Christ. It seems like such a hard thing to do. Remember the comment of C.S. Lewis. He said, the problem with Christianity is not that it has been tried and found wanting, but that it has been found difficult and left untried. What's the cost of not having the Lord in your life? You get to the end of life, and I tell you, whatever you've accomplished, that's all you've got. And when you close your eyes in death, it's gone. Then you stand in eternity before the Lord. What are you going to say to Him? When God right now today is standing with His arms wide open, and He's inviting you to come. I ask you, if you would, please rise to your feet. If you would, play this song. God spoke to you and you feel like praying. This is a praying church. It's a church where we believe in the power of prayer. It's where we believe that God saves. God spoke to you. Would you please come? If you'd like to pray, somebody will pray with you this morning.